Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged and delighted and amazed to welcome an incredible professional manager who's talking to us right from the epicenter of the current problems in Kiev, Ukraine, Dr. Daniel Thadani. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Ashutosh. I'm really amazed that you picked me up across the globe to be a part of your lined up speakers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Daniel has walked a long way, starting with schooling in the remotest part of India to taking a cross-continent journey to study medicine in a region where we had to learn a new language first. He started his career as a medical representative and progressed to head a therapy, then a division, then a profit and loss account, and then a country operation. By now, he has worked in multiple countries of CIS as country head for major Indian pharma players, leading a culturally, linguistically diverse workforce. And yet, if you ask him, he says he's a human being first, a facilitator and servant leader next, and a country business head last. Daniel, what an amazing journey you've had. Congratulations. And thank you for speaking to me from where there is so much action going on right now. I hope you, your family, your colleagues are all safe. But before I get into work, tell me a little bit about what is happening in Ukraine and in Kiev.
So today is the sixth day of the war. We are here. I have not gone to the basement or the bombing, safe shelters for the bomb to save from bombs. Frankly, I was on a business trip on the western part of Ukraine when this all started. I had to rush back to Kyiv because I have to be with my family. Then whatever you saw in the media is the same. The other way was free. You go towards Kyiv is free, but you come. If you are coming out of Kyiv, you are stuck. So now reached. This is the sixth day. First three nights were really terrible because the kids were getting up in the at night and just holding me, and then more, Dad, what's happening? So this is what sixth day. We are into it, and we are living with it now. We have taken apart that. This is what is our journey now.
Amazing. And I just hope all you, your loved ones, and all your colleagues are safe.
Yeah, and of course, parents are in India, and my well-wishers, acquaintances, they're all floating down with prayers. Thanks for the prayers.
Yeah, I'm sure me and all our viewers and listeners will be praying for you, for your health and your safety. But before, again, I get into your professional journey, I want to understand, what is it that took you and takes so many other Indian medical students to so many countries in the CIS to study medicine?
Yeah, basically one is, if I consider myself separately, and here the facility of medicine, medical education is good enough compared to rest of the world. It's good enough at par. You cannot say there was a misconception in the Soviet era. You are quite a different, 2 worlds apart, and you won't be able to accommodate in India or get adapted to the Indian know-hows. But that has fall flat and incorrect. Why? Because students, those who have passed out from here, they have cleared in India medical examination and topped not only in India and the US. My friends, my batchmates are in US, UK, Dubai, and in India, so in top specialties. So the myth has broken. So this is one. Two, the cost. The cost are completely different. That's a heaven and earth different in the cost. So these two factors, I guess, played plays a big role for a middle class Indian who aspires to be a doctor or take up the medical profession.
Amazing. And what you are saying is that the facilities in Ukraine are at par with anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
The only thing is the language, which I'm sure all of you have.
The language, Ukraine is apart from other CIS, a language here. You can study in English, mm-hmm. and the teachers, the professors, the associate professors, all the faculties are well versed in English.
Okay.
So they have taken up this course of their journey, and they have mm-hmm. diverted to English. There is an English faculty, and they are mm-hmm. doing very well there.
Wonderful. And Daniel, are these degrees, medical degrees, are they recognized in all countries, or do we have to go and retrain or do something else after you finish your MBBS?
For major countries, for the developed countries, you have to give the preliminary exams and all the tests to get into, you know, you need to get and fine tune with what the levels are there. So that's a prerequisite for any country. And I guess that should be there. That should be there. Yeah. But there are relaxations in Europe for like with the Ukrainian degree, like in Poland, you can work with an Ukrainian degree. Yeah.
Very interesting. So now coming to your journey, you worked across multiple CIS countries. You worked in India. You are at the helm of affairs of a large, pharma company in the Ukraine. You're the country head for APCA Laboratories. How different is the pharma business in the countries you have worked in as compared to India?
Yeah. I have not worked in India, but of course, my the reporting officers, I have got most of them from India. Mm-hmm. So I can hear, you know, I need to correlate and I had to hear them out and fine tune things with local needs. So what I see in the CIS space across mm-hmm. Geographies where I work, which countries, if through the lenses of the vital piece of pharma, mm-hmm. like the patient, branded generic dominates, though innovators have the first mover's advantage. Mm-hmm. Two, the payers, the government is focusing now on mm-hmm. the reimbursement and reducing the payers' burden from the general public. Mm-hmm. Three, the practitioners or the HCPs, the general makeup of them are the knowledge seekers and relationship customers. Mm. Therefore, the treatment process is banked on basic and etiological treatment. Mm-hmm. This goes down in their, you know, study process and the curriculum. They go basically by the basis and etiological treatment rather than in India, which is more of systematic or symptomatic okay. process of treatment. Mm. Therapeutic, approach today is it's moving away from that brand approach to a therapeutic approach mm-hmm. of treatment. Mm-hmm. So I'll put it in these four points to try to answer your question.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, if you look at the pharma industry across the whole world, it is booming. And yet there are challenges this industry faces. As a global pharma leader, I would love to get your perspective on what are some of the challenges.
Yes, it's I'll take your word booming. It's true.
Okay.
And the pandemic has reminded is the establishments as well as the individuals how important is healthcare today, and in turn it has benefited the pharma at large. Affordable medicine, unmet patient needs in terms of right drug for that particular patient at a point in the geography, mm-hmm. landscape of pharma has changed in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And it's going to change, like the developments which we're having, geopolitical thing, also this will change. Mm. But if I park aside the current situation and take up what has, how the pandemic has affected us and how it's benefiting the pharma, the stakeholder map has been disrupted today to be, one, mm-hmm. take the point. The net zen patient behavior has moved from the simple buyer to the consumer model,
okay.
where the group banks upon loved digital platforms, mm-hmm. which in turn disrupts the business model in the pharma. Mm. So this is what the new shift is. The challenge is in connecting the different dots at the stakeholder model. Okay. No secret that pharma industry is a bit of slow and rigid in adopting changes.
Correct. And, you also spoke a little bit about generics. I see, and this I'm telling you based on my experience of Guardian Pharmacy, there is a move from a consumer perspective to generic medicines because they're cheaper. What do you see as a pharma leader as the trend of moving to generics from branded medicines?
So generics will have the price advantage, you know, for some time to say, at least for some time in a span of 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. And the reusing or drying up of pipelines in the new drug development can hamper or retard growth of generics.
Right.
So what is left for the generics? So either the generics revive themselves, getting into the OTC space to continue the life cycle with the, those brands. But it won't, you know, it won't meet the needs.
Okay. The other thing that I've seen, you know, across the whole world, and I know it's moving, it's happening in India as well, is that there is pressure on doctors to prescribe salts and not brands. And yet it is not working. I'd love to get your perspective as a pharma manufacturer and as a doctor on why salts are not being prescribed, thereby giving the chemist the authority to be able to give any kind of salt that they wish to give the customer.
Yes, Asutosh, is a very, very good question. So for for pharma as a medicine, quality plays the most important role. And the regulatory bodies across the globe are, to say, a bit slow in harmonizing these differences. Once the regulatory bodies harmonize these things, you know, then it can have an upper hand, but it's quite slow. So, and it also depends upon the commercial demands of each geography and in the ecosystem. So these three, you know, pillars and dots has to be somewhat harmonized, matched. Then only things can come up and salt.
Correct. Well said. My other question is, and I've often wondered, you know, even when I was in the board of Gavi for many, many years, I often wondered why is it that pharmaceutical companies from the developing world don't spend enough money on research. You know, I know it costs billions and billions of dollars to produce one medicine, but somewhere these large markets have to start investing some money. What is your perspective?
So first of all, the most important part here, it's a very good question. The cost. The approximate cost of drug development ranges from $2 to $2.5 billion, which is the major challenge. One, two, for the that's two is the intent. Most of the Indian companies are comfortable selling me too drugs, though in some exceptions, some Indian majors, and they have gone out and out very successful in getting to take drug drug discovery at a very advanced stage, but due to the funds, they have sold off at a very advanced stage to big pharmas. But I find a sweet spot over here if the generics and the innovators can collaborate, because this is the era of collaboration. So if they can, the innovators can collaborate with the funds and the generics, if they have the intent, then, you know, there can be a sweet point.
Right. My next question to you, Daniel, is on retail. And I'm going to talk to you from an Indian perspective. I don't know if it's happening in the CIS countries, but medicines were always sold at the chemist counter. Now, suddenly, the market has opened up for e-pharma players. And I'm told that even the big guys like Amazon have got into the act in our country. I'd love to get your perspective because you, as you, as I mentioned in the introduction, you also were a medical representative. What is going to happen to the retail business of pharmaceuticals with e-pharmacy platforms?
So the e-pharma, this platform, in fact, this is a disruption. One, another way, this is the unicorn in the pharma supply chain today.
Correct.
So, which can literally change course of operations, because today, patient may not land up at the pharmacist to ask which all things should get from your prescription.
Right.
He or she will just drop down over the Google or Safari and check what's needed. So things have moved. And as you rightly mentioned, it's Amazon who has taken up the leads. And even if I took taking a local level, even in across CIS, the major pharmacy chains have their own e-pharmacy chains outlets to open.
And what are these e-pharmacy chains doing that are different? I mean, I know, in India, they're discounting. Is that a similar trend that you see in CIS also?
See, the e-pharma will reduce and take away cost. And of course, that is there. And currently, the amount of cost parked on the supply chain really. The supply chain amount will be eaten away. But what I find another perspective in this is that, it will have by default a collection of humongous data on patient drug efficacy and compliance.
Amazing.
So the latter will help medical science in accuracy for an evidence-based medicine. In any way, the value will be created.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So now I'm going to move to a few other questions for you. As a CEO of a company, in Ukraine, someone who has worked in so many different countries, what are the most important qualities, according to you, a CEO needs to have?
I'm I would call it a CEO, this country head, the P&L head. So, firstly, for a leader, a business to lead a business, what I find is the clarity in what you say, do, or ask all stakeholders of the business. Clarity in what you say, do, and ask all the stakeholders. With clarity, you build trust, which is the building blocks for any business. Two, vision. From running business for today and for the next 3, 4, 5 years, business expansion, risk aversion process thought, and risk mitigation, this comes all into vision. So the leader has to have the vision. Third is trust and appreciation. So what is trust for me is something which is said and done. Said and done, quite a number of time it's said and done that creates a trust. Appreciation comes. Appreciation in today's day, it has to be instant because today is TikTok and like
Correct.
era. So it has to be instant and affirming.
Amazing, amazing. My next question to you, Daniel, is on environmental, social, and governance values. And I know the pharma industry is spending a lot of money in ensuring ESG is implemented. What are you doing in countries like Ukraine?
I would not be able to give that much of perspective from Ukraine on a manufacturing point of view, but ESG is quite rigorously, they are getting harmonized across Ukrainian manufacturers too, since the EU norms are applied to Ukraine. Still, Ukraine is not into the EU. They are harmonizing all the norms as per the ESG.
So my next question to you is that what is your leadership style?
Thanks a lot for the question. So, our leadership style, I guess, Asutosh, it's an evolving thing. It has to evolve according to situation. So, when I call it evolving, since I had the opportunity to work in both the Asian and European market, so like mix of both worlds. So, when I say you need to evolve, that basically is flexibility, which has to be number one. Flexibility, which encompasses multicultural, multilingual, and inclusive in nature. the ability to hear and sense weak signals in your organization and in the ecosystem. That comes with this flexibility. Then number two, which I'll take is very important, is the guts to take the responsibility. Either it has been done or it was not done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And since you said it keeps changing, I have to ask you this, that in the current crisis that you are sitting in right now in Kyiv, Ukraine, what is the leadership you're providing to your team members who could be people of Indian origin, who could be Indians, who could be Ukrainians and maybe from other countries as well?
Yeah. So there is a phase in a crisis. There is always a phase which I have found that is the first phase is the panic. In panic, you either that first phase disrupted, you're panicking, or you get closed down. And then the second stage, you activate, your brain starts working, you activate. And in the third phase, you really start taking actions.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, what I did one is that I connected with complete my team through the social network, of course. Mm-hmm. I was talking back and I confirmed them, you please be safe in your own places. One, look into the government sources of information and act accordingly.
Okay.
Since organizations are quite small, you are taken care of. Please look into the government norms and be there. This is one what that is an administrative kind of a thing. But by the evening, I had to call out each and everyone, A to Z of them. Are you safe? Are you in a safe place? Please take care. I'll be in touch on a daily basis. I'll be in touch. And that way, you keep... keep them morally
motivated
and keep them cool that you are connected. We are not lost. Things are happening this way. We are all touched. We are all part of the ecosystem. So that gives a bonding. And sometimes, and crisis brings people, teams together, what I found.
Correct. So I've got time for, two more questions. My next question to you, Daniel, is that for someone who has achieved so much in life, someone who has, lived and worked all over the world, what are the core values you believe in?
The core values, what I believe in is that, firstly, you have to be a human being, first of all. Yeah. Human being means, it's not be naive, but you have to be a human being to hear the other person. And get into the shoes of the other person. One. Two, integrity. Integrity in what you speak, what you react, and the time. It's not integrity in some of the questions like it's financial integrity, yes, of course. That is the time which you give. Then third point is the transparency.
Correct.
These three things, you have to be very clear.
That's very my interesting. And my last question to you, Daniel. And this is for the many, many people who will be listening to our conversation. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on her or his journey?
I will tell with my small journey, very humble journey, you fail.
Mm-hmm.
No issues. Fail, you learn from your failures.
Mm.
Because that is the best opportunity to learn. Don't give up.
Mm.
You fail, you learn, you adapt, you change, you evolve. Keep changing, keep evolving. You fail, you learn. You fail, you learn. That's what I'll give it.
Wonderful. On that note, Daniel, I think this has been, I would say, quite a historic conversation for me personally. Talking to you from Kyiv, and as you said, you keep hearing bombs going off and you are in the middle of where the entire world focuses today. Thank you so much for talking to me about your journey, about the pharmaceutical industry, about your incredible learnings and your knowledge about the pharmaceutical industry, not just in Ukraine, but across the entire CIS. Thank you for talking to me about how you run your businesses and what the qualities of a CEO should be. Please stay safe. Please be careful. And this is not just for you, but for the entire family, your colleagues, and everybody else who you know in Ukraine. I'm sure things will sort themselves out, but please stay safe. Thank you for speaking to me.
Thanks a lot, Ashutosh. Namaskar.
Namaskar. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.